Let me say this to start, because I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to actually say today. But let me say this, that I found myself in a meeting in Sunningdale 15 years ago. My life was destroyed, I was broken, I was addicted, I was afflicted, I was lost, hopeless, I wanted to die. I didn't want church, I didn't want Jesus or anything like that. But I found myself in a meeting like this. And while the people who dragged me to church were drinking coffee in the back, I somehow responded to Jesus. I prayed the prayer of another person when he said to me, "Martin, you have to give your life to Jesus." And the moment I said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins," it felt like a nuclear bomb went off inside of me. Okay? I went from darkness to light, from death to life in an instant. I went from having all the arguments and all the criticisms and cynicisms why I don't believe in Jesus, why I don't believe in the church, why I don't believe in the Bible, why I don't trust Christians, to understanding like I can touch this stand that Jesus is alive. Like I can feel this metal under my touch. That is the reality that I experienced in that moment. When that scale fell off and I understood that and I realized that it was revealed to me, okay? I didn't even know what I was responding to. I didn't know what I was choosing. I didn't even think I was choosing anything. It was revealed to me, Jesus is alive. Jesus is the Lord. Okay? Church is where I belong. I'm deceived. I don't know anything. Everything I think I know is wrong. I don't have a Bible here, but the Bible is the only thing I can read and trust. In an instant, all of this was downloaded to me. And as the weight of this truth hit me, I felt the warm, peaceful presence of the Holy Spirit come inside of me. And I was gloriously saved. My friends were drinking coffee in the back, you know, all at the end of the service, coffee in the back. My life was blasted by the power of God, okay? To the point where 15 years later, usually if people say my name, there's an attachment to it. What's the attachment? Jesus. What else? Holy Spirit. What else? Come on. Miracles, signs, wonders, deliverance, the power of God. Okay? I'm saying that not because I want to boast or make you think something of me. I want to challenge you to wonder and hope and dream what God can do for you today. That 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, maybe you can be somewhere telling your story, telling your testimony, or bringing the word. Amen. It's one thing to sing this power in the name of Jesus, to break every chain. Holy Spirit, flood this place. You know, there's a whole group of a huge part of the church that will, why does he have to flood the place when he's everywhere and it's a futile argument achieving nothing except dividing people? So what? But is there any expectation that what we say is actually possible? Can God come into this service and into this time right now and flood this place and break the chains? heal the sick and raise the dead, take the demons out of people. We live our life in that place where two kingdoms collide. And the only way that the kingdoms collide with each other is if we have power in our lives. No power, we only have words. If you have power, you have collision. Jesus, as far as we know and can see in Scripture, lived a normal life until his 30s. He went to be baptized, went into the water, he came out, heaven opened. The Father spoke over his life, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And he received the Spirit without measure. And then the Amplified Version says this: full of and controlled by the Spirit, he was driven into the wilderness for a time of testing and fasting. And we know that the enemy came to him, brought all of these temptations, and he overcame him. And then he returned, right? How did he return? Who knows? Full of the Spirit. It says, full of the power of the Spirit, Jesus returned to Galilee and he started preaching. He said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then people started screaming in the meetings. And with a loud voice, he said, come out. And they were like, who is this man? Isn't this the carpenter's son? But who is he? Where did he get this authority? Where did he get this power? And from that time, we see that collision between these kingdoms. And we see power in the life of Jesus. We see a power that we glimpsed in the past, maybe on some prophets or some kings or patriarchs. But when Jesus started ministering, there was power all the time. Amen. We saw his word was being confirmed with signs and wonders. And even those that hated him couldn't argue with what they were seeing. Now, okay, he was healed, but it's by the power of something else that he was healed. It wasn't God. They didn't say, no, that person wasn't healed. They just questioned where the power was coming from. And something wonderful happens in the story and the life of Jesus is that he comes and he starts to demonstrate something that we've never seen. There's word and power. Amen. Like a huge part of what he did was not just teaching and preaching and not just fellowshipping with people. It was also praying for the sick and healing them and casting demons out everywhere he went. I mean, it said that he would pray the whole night and they wouldn't even eat. His parents would come, his mother and his brothers. And like, your mother's at the door. Like, who is my mother? You know, I'm busy here. But then he did this. He took some of that authority. And first he chose 12. He said, now you go. Preach the kingdom is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast the demons out. And the 12 went and they did exactly that and then they came back. And then he sent 72 and the same thing, two by two, they went. And they came back rejoicing, saying, Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And I have to draw a line from those guys to us here today. Because if we believe that they were somehow different, special, otherworldly people, different to us, we will never be able to expect to see the same results that they saw. We will sing this, the words, break every chain, but we will never expect the chain to actually break right now here through my prayer, not through the lead elder or the deacon or the special itinerant preacher, Martin or whoever. What God did in my life was so unique because He just chose a foolish thing. And He went, bam, He revealed Himself to me. And I could see in the scriptures that these things are there and seem available and possible. He put a desire in my heart to see evidence that what I read in the Bible and what we sing is true. And I wasn't satisfied with the books of Smith Wigglesworth or the testimonies of others or the stories of back in the day when God really moved in power. I said, Lord, if these things are true and real, then I want to see them. If there's a Holy Spirit baptism, then I want it. If there's a gift of speaking in unknown tongues, then I want it. If people can get healed through prayer, then I want to see people get healed through prayer. If demons can come out, Lord, I want to see the demons come out. It was plain and simple. And somehow in His grace and wisdom and in God's sense of humor, He answered my prayer. And the new guy prays for somebody in the front of the church and rah, the old lady turns into a monster. And the demon would come out. And what I learned is that it's not about training yourself up to that place, performing yourself up to that place or into that place, or being somebody special, having a special title, being a comm leader or a deacon or an elder. I saw all the supernatural things that I see now as an elder before I was even a potential leader. Why? Because I was a believer in Jesus and He is alive. And His Holy Spirit is really on the earth. And these things that we read are really there and true and available. And God answers prayer. That's why. And in a sense, it was easier because I didn't have responsibility. Could do and say whatever I want. You know, I want to say that Corinthians says this, that there are a variety of gifts and there are varieties of service, but it's the same Spirit that empowers them all. Okay? You can pack out the chairs in the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn on those urns in the power of the Spirit. Pray in the power of the Spirit. You can do all of these things in the power of yourself, in your own strength, in your own understanding, with no expectation for God to actually come and do anything. I joke with my wife, we always end up at the elders' meetings first, well, after Rian, so second, which means we have to pack out all the chairs every time. And I want to say it's all important, okay? Packing out the chair is just as much as a privilege as praying for a person to get saved or a praying for a person to get healed. It's all important. And each person here needs to play their part for this body to grow and be built up and for God's kingdom to advance. That's the most important thing, is that God's kingdom is advancing and we have a part to play. I mean, we are part of this. And let me tell you, if you have power in your life, you're going to see that collision between two worlds. You're going to get people that hate you for no reason. You're going to find people that reject you and speak poorly of you. And you're going to maybe see evidence of God's miraculous power in your life. You'll see your own life change. Amen. Because your veil is removed. And because your face is unveiled as you see the Lord in all of these things. You are changed, transformed. The word is metamorpho. It means changed by being with. Where we get metamorphosis. As you live this normal Christian life, you are changed by being with God. Seeing evidence. He is alive. He is real. The Holy Spirit is on the earth. The words that we read and sing are true. Is this encouraging at least? We need God's power in our life. That's the minimum requirement for being a Christian. Because you need to be brought from death into life. No power, you don't really have that. Then you just identify as something which you're not. If you have power, it will be observed. People will know. Even the people that hate you will know who to call if somebody is sick and dying, if they need somebody to pray, if there's a family disaster. They know who to call. People who walk in darkness, they know who walks in the light, even if they hate them. And I have many things I want to say here, but read your Bible, and when you see people's names, when it mentions them, you have to make it personal. Stephen, one of the first deacons, was a normal person. He was a normal person. But what did people say about him? He was full of grace and power. He was performing wonders and signs everywhere he went. Philip goes to Samaria, turns the place upside down. The demons come out everywhere. The cripple and the lame leap and rejoice. I love this guy. Ananias, not the one that died. How's this? An unknown person, the first time we hear of him, Ananias, God speaks to him. Hey, Ananias, I want you to go there. There's a man sitting there. It's this guy. He's like, Lord, no, I know that guy. I'm not going there. No, you'll go there. You pray for him to receive his sight. Okay? Saul of Tarsus was sitting there blind as a bat. Ananias comes. My brother, let me pray for you. His eyes get open and he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he writes like a huge portion of the New Testament. You never hear of Ananias again. God loves that, the unknown person. If you ask the community that's here with me, they'll tell you that every Sunday I'm preaching and in the front and praying for everyone, everyone is falling down and miracles, miracles. No. It doesn't work like that. A huge part of what we do is just being part, looking after people, being in the service, not preaching, not praying, whatever. But when the Lord decides, today is the day that I can do the finance teaching or bring a preach or whatever, then we say, yes, Lord, and we go full of faith, ready in the season, okay? Hungry that God will do something, hungry for Him to move. I mean, that same Paul dragged the meeting out to late at night. You also have late meetings sometimes, 5 o'clock. And a boy falls out of the window and dies. I mean, that would be off the charts if we had to put that on the feedback form. How was the meeting? It was good. How many visitors? 4. Any areas of concern? 1 person died. Praise report. We brought him back from the dead in the name of Jesus. We have to believe, amen, that God's presence is really here. If His presence is really here, it means that His power is here. If His power is really here, it means that anything is possible in this place. That chains can really break. Anybody can get saved. Miracles can happen. That any life can change. Amen. The thing with this, we come up to a threshold of our intellect, what we think we believe or see in Scripture, or unbelief. Will God? Won't He? What will He? What is His will? You know, does He will this? Does He will that? If I pray, will anything even happen? And you know what happens? We shrink back. We don't risk, we don't try, we are too scared to fail, too scared to risk, too scared to abandon ourselves and trust God. Amen? Or was that just me? I mean, there's people in this room that have been in previous meetings where they can testify that God's power miraculously broke out. Demons came out of people. People were instantly healed. This and that. The Holy Spirit poured out. But even right now, we're standing at that place. Do we believe? Do we believe that there will be more than just this, just words? Just saying we believe this, we believe that. But will He? Amen. Maybe we can stand. Yeah, maybe need some.